This is an interview done with Mr. Frank Gillett in his home in Sturgeon Bay. His daughter-in-law, Mrs. Lucy Gillett, recommended him to us as someone who would be able to help us with just about any phase of the Belgian settlement, which he's lived in or around most of his life. Mr. Gillett, where were you born?
I was born in Namur, half a mile west of Namur, between the bay and Namur, on a farm. And we was on the farm till I was about 3 years old. And I remember my dad's mother, but not his dad, because his dad died when he was 50 years old. And then we moved to, we sold the farm and we moved to Sturgeon Bay and we bought a hotel. It was a hotel in days, and the train was coming in, all those salesmen, they used to come over to the hotel to stay overnight and to rent a team of horses. We had horses and we used to run a livery barn. And the salesmen used to come for a team to go out in the country to all them stores with their trunks and everything. And we stayed in Sturgeon Bay as much as I can remember, about 5 years. And then my mother took sick. She got kind of sickly, and we had to get out of the hotel, and we went back to Brussels. And my dad got a job working in the big flour mill in Brussels. There used to be a big flour mill there. For a couple of years he worked in the flour mill till they came out with those mayoralts. So then he passed an examination and got to be a mail carrier, rural mail carrier. And his route was from Brussels, clear down to Little Sturgeon to the end of the county there, and 32 mile route. But then my mother got worse. She got pneumonia, and I was going to school, to that sister school, parochial school in Namur, for 3 years. Then I had to quit school to take care of my mother, because I was the only one that was old enough to help her out.
What did you learn from her?
What
did you learn from her?
And then she was, well, first she had to teach me how to bake bread and how to make fry meat and eggs and all that stuff, and how to scrub the floors with a bar of soap and a scrubbing brush. And she kept sick. She was sick for 2 years, then she died. Well, then I had to stay with my dad again for 3 years and be a cook for him till fine. Then he got married again, second marriage. And that's when I left Namur and left Brussels, went to Green Bay and got me a job on that first cement that was laid on Cedar Creek Road coming out of Green Bay. I was working with Al Moore, that used to run the tavern here on 57, and we were boarding at the old Allen Hotel on Main Street in Green Bay. And when I think back, a board was cheap them days, but money was scarce. We was boarding for $13 a month, room and boards, which was reasonable at the time. But everything else was, we'd buy an overall 65 cents and shirt 50 cents. And well, I worked that was in the month of July, and it was a pretty hard job because we had all those wheelbarrows of cement. And finally, then I got a chance to get a job on the old Nettie Dennison that used from Green Bay, that was coming to Sturgeon Bay, Menominee, Marinette. They would haul hay, they'd haul groceries, they'd haul everything. And everything was bulk them days, big barrels of salt. But they hired me as a cook. I had to make the meals on the old Dennison. Well, then I worked quite a while for, I forget how many months, 6-7 months for Nettie Dennison. Then they weren't paying very much, and half the time when it was rough on the bay, well, they wouldn't get out. They would. So I had to pay my board at the same time. And a lot of times I didn't have much money left from one month to the other. So then I figured I got to make more money. So I went to Lena, which I knew people there that moved from Brussels by the name of Gerondale. And I finished the harvest with them. It was during the harvest. And from there, I went and worked in Long Lake, in what they call New Orleans. There was a little town on this side of Long Lake. Worked in the lumber camp through the fall and that winter. Then in the spring, I came back to Brussels. I wanted to learn some kind of a trade. I figured I can't keep on living that way. And so I got a job with a cheesemaker. I worked as a helper all that summer. I had to work 1 year in the cheese factory. Then I went to Madison Dairy School and took up a course in cheese making and butter making and ice cream making. Well, then I came back and made cheese right close to Brussels for a guy by the name of Joe Delfos. And I made cheese 9 years there, well, 5 years, but then I had to go into service. I went to the First World War in the Navy. And after the war was over, I came back and I married my girlfriend, and we bought that little store, and I made cheese for the farmers for 4 more years, which was 9 years in that place.
Were they mostly Belgian people?
They were mostly all Belgians, yeah. And then I sold the store to a guy by the name of Henry Delfos. And I bought a cheese factory and store, which was my own there, in Rosaire. And there it was mostly Bohemians and Germans and Belgians, and they were all mixed there.
How was it different when the different nationalities were all mixed?
It didn't make too much difference. Right away I got acquainted with all those people. They were all very nice farmers, and I was in that place 24 years. And then, well, I was 33 years in a factory. I thought it's time for me to get to something else. I went back to Sturgeon Bay and bought an orchard, 59 acres of apples and cherries. And I run that for 8 years. Then my wife got a nervous breakdown. I had her in the hospital in Milwaukee for 13 weeks. And the doctors told me that they thought it would be better if I take my wife back in some kind of a little business. because they thought, seeing that we were 30-some years in business before, she was so used to being with all people, she, and the winters were hard on the orchard. I had to be pruning all winter. And they thought that's why she got that nervous breakdown. So then I sold the orchard, and I looked around for a little business, and I finally settled in Green Bay, bought a grocery store in Green Bay on the corner of Irwin and Stewart, right close to Joanna's Park. And I was in there 5 years, and then she got a stroke and died. Well, then I had to sell the store. So then I sold the store, and I was just lucky. I sold the store, by God, to a fellow that had to move out of the store, by the name of Bob, what the heck was his second name again, Bob? Be darned, I can't just think right now. Anyway, he bought the store, he came and looked at it, and he says, that's just the place for me, and he bought it, and, well, then, I bought a home in Green Bay, and I lived there for a while, and then I always kind of liked Sturgeon Bay, a smaller town, and I came back to, I only lived about a year in Sturgeon, Green Bay, then I came back to Sturgeon Bay and rented a house on Georgia Street, and I was there through the winter. Then in the spring I went to Riley's Point and bought me a little house by the water, and I was not too long there. I met my second wife there. She was running that Poggers Resort in Little Sturgeon. So we got married, and I don't know, we stayed 7 years more or less. We went to California, bought a little trailer, but then things didn't work out just the way it should, and I left the place. Then I bought a trailer at the Arrows over here, and I was there 4 years, and then I got sick of the trailer. Not sick of the trailer so much, but there was no ground. There was just a concrete slab there, and I wanted a little piece of ground where I could make a garden. So then I bought this place, and I've been in this place 4 years now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'd like to go back to your childhood again. What kinds of foods did your mother teach you to make? Were they especially Belgian?
It was mostly Belgian food, yeah. Like, she was a great woman. She was a very good cook. Because when we were kids, I had two brothers and one sister. And that was the first thing she thought of, was that the kids had to be fed good. And even though years ago, you know, that you couldn't get all, you wouldn't go to, not like now, you go to fruit market, to those big supermarkets, and they got such a big variety of stuff, you know. But them days, our flour was mostly ground. They grind the flour right in Brussels, see, the wheat, and it was you could get everything in the from the grain, the bran, and the white flour. And that's and we always liked that kind of bread. See, the bread was good, and she was a good baker. She would make good, and coffee cakes and different cakes. You know, that she was real good, and we were always fed pretty good when we were kids.
Did you have any vegetables?
Well, we used to grow mostly all our vegetables in the garden, and we had a basement ground with a ground floor. By God, we used to keep our potatoes and everything in the basement through winter, like cabbage and potatoes and turnips and all that stuff, you know, onions and all that. We had vegetables all through winter, and we used My grandpa used to have quite a lot of apples. He was a great one for raising plums and grapes. We had different kinds of apples and all good apples too. And
what did you do with those?
What
did you make with the apples?
Well, my mom would make apple sauce. She used to do a lot of canning. And besides that, I had to go with my ma in the woods when the blackberries were ripe, raspberries, the wild strawberries. And we used to go and pick those little things. I was so sick, you know, picking those wild strawberries. Well, raspberries are pretty near as bad, you know. It's not like the ones you raise in the garden. They're twice the size. But in the winter, they tasted darn good. They were, in fact, they were better than the home race that you raised in the garden. So we always was fed pretty good. We had a good home. My dad was good, my mother. Yeah.
Did you have special celebrations, say, during...
Well, you know, we were the first family in the Moore that bought the first, there was Edison record machine when they first came out. Those rulers, I don't know if you ever saw them. Then we had parties. The people all around, all our neighbors, you know, they'd come with little keg of beer on their shoulder in the winter, in the snowbanks and everything. They'd all carry that each by turn, and they'd come. They'd have a heck of a party with their record machine going. And it was a lot of fun. And we enjoyed it.
Did you dance?
Oh, yes, they used to dance and tap dance, and there was a lot of old men them years, you know. They just loved to tap dance, and some were darn good. They had a lot of fun. And they used to sing French songs, and we had some good singers. My God, there was an old couple by the name of John Mockwell and his wife. And we used to always like to see them come to a party because they start those old French songs, you know. And boy, they could sing. They were good. Yeah.
Did everybody sing along?
Yeah, sometimes, but it was just fun to hear them two singing together. See. Yeah.
I understand you were part of a brass band.
Well, when I was 12, that was the year my mother died. Yeah, the year my mother died, the priest, Father Glotterman, started the band for the church in No More. He was our priest. And one day he asked me, he says, "How would you like to play in a band, Frank?" He says, "I got 16 kids now, and I'd like to get about a 17-piece band." So I told Father Glotterman, I said, I sure would like to join your band. I said, if I can get some money to buy a cornet. So I talked to my dad, I said, about buying a new cornet. But he was hard up at the time. So he told me, he says, You always go and help your Uncle Frank de Kaiser, he says, that was living alone on his farm. Why don't you ask Uncle Frank to help you out? I says, if I had a little money saved up. I said, if I could get $10, I says, I could get me a cornet. Which I got the $10 from my uncle. Then I sent for a cornet from Sears Roebuck in a catalog. They were cheap them, dear, see. So when I got my cornet, I joined the band, and I was very interested in the cornet. The more I played it, the more I liked it. And so we went with the priest for, maybe 6-7 months. But then it got to a point where Father Glademan, instead of teaching us, he'd be telling stories, and we didn't learn hardly nothing. So,
what kind of stories did he tell?
Well, a lot of different. He came from Holland, see, and he'd tell those stories from when he was a kid in Holland and all that stuff, see. And he was a good priest and everything I hated to do, but I was the one, and Gapier that I talked about, that started to get 7 guys out of the band to go to go and play for dances, to make a little money, see. So we broke up from the priests and we got an old band teacher from Algoma by the name of Wenzel Wiesner. And he was an old musician. And we used to go and pick him up at Forestville. When the train would come in Forestville, we was there to pick him up. And with a horse and cutter in the winter, and then he'd spend the night with us, and then the next day we'd take him back to Forestville to the train stations, and go back to Algoma. And we had him for about another 6 months, then we started playing for dances, and we played for about three or four years. And it was going good, and we was getting more job, getting acquainted and everything, a lot of weddings and dances and all that, kermesses. But then, we had 3 kids that wanted to go to college. So one was the clarinet player. We needed the clarinet player. We had 2 of them. And one was a baritone player by the name of Anton Batty, and Bill Peer, and that's when the band broke up. But then I wasn't satisfied to stay without playing, so I joined the Rose Air Brass Band, and I played with the Rose Air Brass Band for about another 3 years. We broke up, and I didn't play much after that.
What kind of music did you play?
Cornet.
What types of music?
There was the old brass band, what they call the old polka band, see? Yeah. But that was the real brass band. We didn't have no saxophones them days in there, and we had a baritone, tenor, and alto, and the bass, and 2 clarinets and 2 cornets. That was what they used to call the old brass bands. Yeah. But I always liked music, and I still got my old polka bands on my radio all the time from Kiwani Station. I don't hardly watch TV. I don't know. Unless there's good stories on, I like to watch the Waltons. To me, that's one of the best stories on TV. And Lawrence Welk, and big programs like that. So that's
What other kind of music do the Belgian people like?
Well, they're pretty much like the Bohemian. They like those old polka bands. Yeah. They like the brass bands and the orchestras. Well, now they call them mostly orchestras. That's what my son plays, got there. They got an accordion player, now they got those accordion players, and they can play with less musicians. He's got a 5-piece band, and they got very good music. But the accordion takes the place of the piano and the clarinets. They got 2 cornets in there, and the accordion, and the bass player, and two cornets and the accordion is three and the bass player. That's what the heck they're supposed to be. They got five anyway, that's in their band. Well, they figured now if they get a job to go and play now, a young married couple who's getting married, they want a wedding, they want to dance. Well, it takes a lot of money if they want a seven-piece orchestra. So they got two guys less there to pay, so they can charge less, see. And that's what a lot of young couples like, that they got pretty near the same music, they play the same, and that's two players that's less to pay.
Did you ever go with your father on a mail route?
Oh, yes. There was times, that's one thing, my dad, it could be as stormy as it was, as it had to be, but the next day, if he had a walk on the route, he'd walk his route with just the first class mail. And he'd carry his mail as far as about a half of his route. Then he'd try to find a place to stay overnight. The next morning he'd start from there and finish his route. But then the next day his legs were so tired out that he couldn't walk. So then he used to have me go with him. So all he'd do is drive the horse and sort the mail, and I'd jump out of the cutter and bring it in the mailbox for him. And I done that several times too, whenever the roads were bad, and sometimes they were bad enough, you always had to use his clipper. He had one of those little wire clippers in his pocket, and if the roads got too bad, well, he'd clip a wire fence and go through the fields.
Oh yeah.
Cut across, yeah. That's the way it was them days. And I'll never forget those horses. I got to, he always had three horses, but he only used one. So every horse, every third day, it would go out. And it was hard work for those horses because the snow was so darn deep, you know, 10, 12 feet sometimes. Right in the center of the road, you could see the fences sticking out of the snow, but the roads was way up higher, see. Every time it drifts, and it seems to me we had more storms them days years ago than what we got now. It was blowing all the time, blizzards, and every time it blows, we had wind, well, the snow would gradually go up higher and higher and higher, and the sleighs would go through till finally there was only the tracks of the sleigh, and it was like a roof on both sides of the road. No snow plows. Boy, it was pretty tough to be a mailman them days. They earned all their money. I still remember when my dad started on his mail route, $750 a year. And out of that, he had to buy his horses, buy his cutters and buggies and harnesses, and then feed those horses 12 months a year by hose and hay, and feed a family of four kids besides, and his wife. And it was, you couldn't save nothing.
Did you visit people along the way?
People were sure nice them days. I'll never forget, you take on Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, when he'd go back on the route, that's 2 days he had off, on New Year's Day and Christmas. But when he'd go back on the route, nearly in every mailbox there was presents in there. Fruits or different things, you know. Homemade sausage. A lot of the farmers used to make their own bolognese and pork sausages and all that. And he'd come back loaded with presents, with things. Yeah, people were very nice. I always say they were the good old days. Well, they're still good as far as that goes. Everything is different, you know. And sometimes I got to laugh because you talk with some people, oh, those damn kids nowadays, they're different from years ago. And I got to laugh, and I can't help but putting him straight. I says, no, they're still born the same babies as they were 100 years ago. I says, but the times are changed, so everything is different. And if you really figure it out, I'll say 98% of the kids today are just as good as can be. They're good. But then 2% will cause a lot of trouble for the rest of them. And that's one thing I can't see. I meet kids almost every day from the neighbors here. They come, hi, Mr. Gillett. And they'll come and talk sometimes, and just as good as could be.
Did you play any special games as a child?
We used to play, I'll tell you one of the oldest games that I can think of. I remember playing that when we were kids was checker. Checker is really an old game when you think back. We spent a good many nights, evenings with checkers. And then we used to play the old Couillon game. That's a Belgian game. And when we were kids, and the folks, we used to spend the biggest part of the winter playing cards and checkers. And then when I got a little older, well, I learned to play Schaskop, or what they call Schaskop. That's a German game. And it was a very interesting game. And when I play cards, I haven't played now for a while, but when I do play cards, it's mostly Schaskop. We got a lot of German people here in the county, and they still like to rule the Schaskop game, you know. So.
Did your parents ever tell you stories when you were a child?
Yes, they used to tell me stories, but by God, you know, it's been such a long time now that I forgot the biggest part of those stories. I wish I knew them. I wish I, just like an old song my dad used to always sing, and I never hear that song anymore. And all I can remember is it was on a cold winter night. It was on a cold winter night. I don't know if you ever heard that. We never hear that song anymore. But years ago, that was a great number. It was a beautiful song.
Was it a Belgian song?
No, it was. That song was English. My dad used to sing it in English. Anyway, it was the man's wife froze out in the field. It was such cold, on a very cold night.